This program does not create an attorney-client relationship between Moss and Barnett, a professional association, or any attorney appearing on this program and any caller or listener. Please remember that we can only give general information, and every case is unique. Always check with your individual attorney for any specific legal concerns. If you are in need of specific legal advice or are looking for an attorney, please do not hesitate to give Moss and Barnett a call at 612-877-5000.
This is WCCO's Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett.
Thanks so much for joining us on this rainy Saturday. Steve Thompson is in. Tom Schroyer, our host on the program, and we have a fascinating program today, Tom.
We really do, Steve. We have the privilege of presenting today what makes mediation work, an all-important, all-encompassing process that's now become a part of just about every civil lawsuit in Minnesota, state and federal court, and throughout the nation, I might say. And today to talk about that with us is Brian Short. Brian is a business executive, an attorney, though not in private practice, who was one of the leaders in forging the mediation movement and now continues to mediate. He developed that approach while he was a magistrate here for the federal judges in Minneapolis and St. Paul throughout Minnesota. But perhaps more pertinently, Brian, you were a radio disc jockey, I'm told, in a prior iteration of your many chapters of life.
Well, good morning, or afternoon, I guess. I've been privileged to do a lot of things in my life, and fortunately, the listeners were privileged that I didn't do that very long.
I understand that was on a prime time of the programming schedule as well.
We couldn't find anybody to fill the 6 to 9 slot Sunday mornings, and so I was nominated.
Very good. Well, as long as we have that clear. So, Steve, we know that we have a talent with us today.
Well, and 6 to 9 Sunday, that's not bad.
It was all my friends that were out delivering the papers with their kids that were listening.
Well, very good. We're going to, again, be talking about what makes mediation work. And, Brian, I suppose one way to get into the topic is just to say, first of all, what is it?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where it's all things to all people. Mediation is essentially a method of dispute resolution that, frankly, resolves most of the disputes that all of us experience in our lives. Mm. It's essentially a process in which parties reach agreement but don't have to, that's facilitated by an independent and usually respected third party.
And mediation is something that is distinguished from arbitration because there's no third party makes a decision.
Yeah, that's one of the strengths, frankly, and weaknesses of both of those systems. In mediation, the parties don't have to agree. But that's probably one of its strengths, and it lets them reach something that they maybe find acceptable as opposed to one that's imposed on them.
And so in that context, it has really taken over the resolution of civil litigation, as we were talking about. How widespread is mediation?
Well, certainly my experience is in the court system, and virtually every case before it's tried will have to go through some mediation process. I'm not as familiar with the family law areas, but I suspect that's where mediation is really important and can really be effective and, frankly, really helpful to helping people achieve some kind of reconciliation where that's really important.
I've had federal judges here in the Twin Cities tell me that Brian Short is their go-to mediator for the most difficult cases, and that they prevail upon him, even though he is a busy business executive, to handle some of the most intractable cases. So a compliment to Brian from the judges. And Brian, I know that that's a hallmark, as it were, of the fact that you were there when it first started off back in the 70s.
Well, maybe in the 80s. I'm not quite as old as some of the people in the room. But certainly it started getting traction in the 80s. Whether there were societal issues or what the issues were, litigation really started picking up, and the resources that the courts had available to them to try lawsuits didn't expand at the same rate as the kind of tsunami of litigation. And people were looking at, and those involved in the system were looking at, a lot of different ways to try to resolve a dispute other than having a judge pick a jury and having the lawyers go at it. And the so-called ADR, Alternative Dispute Resolution movement, kind of was born, and mediation is part of that. Not that there weren't people trying to settle lawsuits before that, but it was much more informal and much more hit and miss.
Well, I remember in the early days, back in the day, perhaps I should say, when we used to have this ritual, this elaborate ritual, it seemed, where the attorneys for the parties would act like bantam roosters right up until the courthouse steps. And then they'd turn into the best friends ever known to humankind, and they'd get the case resolved the morning that the trial was supposed to start. And that seemed rather wasteful.
Well, certainly because the parties had all the expense of preparing for and getting ready for trial. And the court system then would have a lot of starts and stops. Your case would be scheduled for 10 o'clock Tuesday morning. That meant everybody else's wouldn't. And so if your case settled, then what does the judge do? What does the jury do? What do all the people that are tied up in that taxpayer-supported system doing with their time?
And I suspect, too, that part of the attraction of mediation is that in the old days, again, there was the code among trial lawyers that you didn't want to be the first one to talk settlement. If you did, you were really a wimp.
Yeah. The famous line that I remember from a friend of mine whose client said to him, "We hired you to be a warrior, not a wimp." But I think most people, especially, frankly, successful lawyers, understand that, in fact, their case is going to be resolved. In fact, if you look at the statistics, back when I knew something about it, over 97% of the cases that were resolved, at least in the federal cases in Minnesota, were resolved some way other than trial on the merits. People don't try lawsuits, especially lawsuits about money. And so the question I always put to people, you're going to settle your case. Do you want to settle it when your investment in it is whatever it is now? Or do you want to pay your lawyer and all the other costs that go with that up until the day of trial and then settle the case?
And I suppose the answer is they're performing some kind of a mental calculation as to whether they think they can get a better discount later if they don't get real right away.
Or will they find the smoking gun that will enable them to extract more or less money, depending on which side you're on, from the other side?
Exactly. And so we are also going to invite callers, listeners to call in, I should say, and text into the show here again today, because this is a great opportunity to put questions directly to Brian Short, a former magistrate with the federal courts here in town, talking about mediation. And in that regard, Brian, perhaps before we go to break, another question or two. How did you get started in mediation?
Well, when I was a magistrate, I would conduct what we then called settlement conferences. And before a case would go to trial before a judge with whom I worked, the parties would have to come to me and we'd sit down and talk about the case and try to settle it. And doing that for a little while, I developed a little bit of a process that seemed to work. After I quit as a magistrate to move on and do other things, one of the judges that I used to work with called me up and said that he had a very difficult case, an airplane crash case, that where there was a significant loss of life and significant economic consequences, and he wanted to know if I would please visit with the parties in order to try to help them resolve that case before it went to trial. And I said, "Judge, thank you very much for calling me, but, you know, these people aren't going to pay any attention to me. I don't wear the black dress anymore. Why would they pay attention to what I had to say?" And he encouraged me to try to do it, and I did, and it worked, and that case was resolved, and other judges started calling me, and, you know, I do it, you know, a couple times a month just to kind of keep my hand in it now.
How different was it for you to do that in the role of a civilian, as it were, as opposed to somebody wearing the black silk of the judge?
It turned out not to be very different at all, frankly, because whatever ideas I had when I was wearing the black dress, I hopefully still had them. Whatever persuasiveness I had then, I still had. And whatever listening ability that I had when I was wearing the black dress, I still had. And in fact, I probably developed that a little bit better.
We have more coming up. Brian Short is in studio. Tom Schroyer, our host. What makes mediation work? And as Tom mentioned, phone lines are always open. The number is 651-989-9226. Toll free, 1-866-989-9226. You can text our studio as well. The number there, 81807. That's 81807. And that's powered by Home Service Plus, an offering of CenterPoint Energy. It is Minnesota Law presented. Presented by Moss and Barnett here on News Radio 830 WCCO.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
Did you know a team of Moss and Barnett attorneys worked on the appeal of the case that served as the basis for the motion picture, North Country?
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss and Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO. The official traffic station, News Radio 830 WCCO.
Welcome back. It is Minnesota Law presented by Moss and Barnett, available online at moss-barnett.com. Brian Short, our guest. What makes mediation work? Tom Schroyer is our host. Phone number on the program once again, 651-989-9226. Toll free, 1-866-989-9226. We do have a phone call, and we invite you to call the program at any time. By the way, you can text the show at 81807. That's 81807, powered by Home Service Plus, a service of Center Point Energy. And on the lines, Jeff. Jeff, hello. You're on Minnesota Law.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, if two parties agree to go into mediation, they go into mediation, they reach an agreement, they put the basics of the agreement in writing and sign off both parties and counsel. Before the matter is papered up in final form, can one or the other party say, I changed my mind, I don't want to agree to what I agreed to and signed off on at the time of mediation. I want to go back to pursuing a trial.
This is Brian Short. The answer to that, as so often in life, depends. And so in the context of a lawsuit in which then the answer is yes, it can be enforceable if the parties want it to be enforceable. And if that desire is set forth in this writing that you talk about. There's a statute in Minnesota that I call the Full Employment for Lawyers Law, which says that agreements reached at mediation are not enforceable unless they are in a document which is contains the essential elements of the deal, contains a representation that the parties intend it to be binding, and is then signed by the parties to a dispute. And so if you comply with that statute in this mediation agreement that you refer to, it will be enforceable. Now, then the question always is, so what good does that do you? But it would be enforceable.
Yeah, I might add that as a lawyer participating in mediations, I've been a party to some amazing chicken scratchings at the midnight hour trying to get something papered over so that we can avoid the effect of that law that Brian just mentioned, which has some draconian results at times for people. On the other hand, it does avoid the fight over who said what said informally at a deal.
And I've always thought that it's a good law, especially in the family law context, where sometimes both sides don't have lawyers or they're sharing a lawyer or something like that. And it is a law that people need to be aware of.
Now, I was wondering, we've heard about mediation, and Jeff brought up a point. What about binding arbitration? Does that really mean binding if you agree to have it arbitrated, and how is it different?
Well, mediation is one of the alternative dispute resolution methods. Arbitration is another. Arbitration, generally speaking, is, as you state, Steve, binding. That is, you dispense with the judge, you dispense with the jury. In a lot of industries, that is the usual form of dispute resolution, securities disputes, things like that. And it's generally more streamlined, and it is one arbitrator or three, may be a lawyer, may not be a lawyer. Decision is binding absent fraud.
Baseball players and management go through binding arbitration.
Yeah. It's often in a labor management context. You see it unions and management. We all see and hear about it in baseball in connection with what the salary is going to be for our favorite player next year.
Brian, I often liken mediation to Henry Kissinger playing shuttle diplomacy between Egypt and Israel, or trying to negotiate a deal. Does that sound apt?
Well, actually it is. You know, mediation has, in its earliest forms, was in international law when warring nations would, under the auspices of some respected neutral country, resolve their disputes, whether it was the Vatican or whether it was Great Britain. The most recent example that maybe many of us of our generation remember would have been the Camp David Accords in 1978, when President Sadat and Prime Minister Begin, under the auspices of Jimmy Carter's presidency, resolved some of the disputes, and Egypt becoming the first Arab country to recognize the state of Israel.
And so the role of the mediator is pretty important, and we want to come back to this after the break here in another minute, but the mediator makes a huge difference.
He or she does. I often say that the principal job of a mediator is not to screw it up, and they can. But if a mediator works with the party, is both perceived and acts honestly, generally speaking, you will help the parties move along. You may not get to the end, but you'll help them move along.
All right, we have more on the way. Brian Short in studio, what makes mediation work? Tom Schroyer is our host on the program. We have a brief news and weather update with Bruce Hagovic, and then we'll come back with more. Your calls always welcome, 651-989-9226, toll-free 1-866-989-9226. If you have a question about mediation process, feel free to call the program here on News Radio 830-WCCO.
From the Buick Studios, this is News Radio 830 WCCO.
Welcome back. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, available online at moss-barnett.com. Information on this program and other programs available online. Brian Short in studio, what makes mediation work? Tom Schroyer, the host on the program. If you have a question about mediation and the process, how it works, feel free to call the program, 651-989-9226, toll free 1-866-989-9226, or text our studio, 81807, powered by Home Service Plus, an offering of CenterPoint Energy.
Steve, as we know, mediation has swept the field in terms of civil litigation and dispute resolution, and at first it seemed like this mystical process that somebody could come in and do some incantation over the parties in the name or the stature of the mediator and pull the rabbits out of the hat. But I think, Brian, as we've gone down the road, we see that there's more to it than that. It's more systematic. And so let me ask you, if you had to put your finger on it, what is the one thing or two things that make mediation work?
I think Tom, one of the most important things is you need knowledgeable parties. You need knowledgeable parties who are committed to the process. If you come in to a mediation expecting to trick somebody or expecting to fool somebody or expecting somebody else to cave in, then certainly you will be unsuccessful. So what I always encourage people to do who I am going to work with is please be as familiar with what your case is about as you possibly can. And don't fool yourself. Don't engage in acts of self-delusion.
What is it that actually motivates people to want to do all of that and to actually get into the process in the first place and then to make it work, stick to it and make it work?
Maybe fear of the unknown. I sometimes suggest to people is if you're going to continue down the path of litigation, what you really have to do is be prepared to lose. And most people at the end of the day are not prepared to lose. And mediation or settling a dispute is like buying a policy of insurance against losing. And that's why it tends to be successful. So if somebody understands that, I think generally, and actually both sides need to understand that, then most cases will be successful at mediation.
And I suppose the elements of what is defined as that cost factor you're talking about not only could include loss of the actual lawsuit, but, of course, the cost of going through a litigation, emotional and financial, for attorney's fees and other defense costs and plaintiff's costs.
Certainly. I mean, there are I always ask people to think of costs, and costs fall into a number of different buckets. There is the transaction cost. How much does it cost you to have your lawyer sit there either in mediation or, heaven forbid, at trial? You then have the risk of losing, right? And that can be significant. I always, you know, smile a little bit when a party will come in and say, well, Brian, we don't have much of a chance of losing here. you know, I have a 90% chance of winning this case. Heck, my lawyer told me that. And I always shake my head. You know, I don't know that I've ever met anybody who can look at a lawsuit and say, yes, I have a 90% chance of winning that case. But maybe someday I will meet that person. But then I always ask the people, well, keep in mind what that means. When you say you have a 90% chance of winning, what does that mean? That means if you try the case 100 times, you're going to win it 90 and you're going to lose it 10. But guess what? You know, you don't try the case 100 times. You try it once. And on the one time you try it, is it going to be one of the 90 that you win, or is it going to be one that the 10 that you lose? I think that every lawsuit is a 50-50 proposition. Trying a lawsuit is a game of chance. It's a lottery. If you want to do that, if you want to gamble, you can do that in a lawsuit. But there are casinos in this state where the food and entertainment are much better than you will find in some judge's courtroom.
Speaking of the attorney giving the lawyer or his or her client a bit of an unreasonable expectation, do you find that attorneys are barriers to getting cases resolved during the mediation process?
That's, you know, one of the silent whispers that goes around all the time, that lawyers are a barrier to settlement. I've been doing this a long time. I certainly have bumped into some that were not as committed to the process as I thought they should be. But by and large, the vast, vast majority of the lawyers that I bump into are committed to trying to help their clients and are committed, and they know very well that settling the dispute is much better than trying it. I can't even tell you the times that I have seen lawyers prevent settlement. It doesn't happen in my experience.
And is that in part because during the mediation process, by definition, you, an outside professional, get to go right to the client and talk to them directly and, in effect, do an end around the lawyers and or include the lawyers in that conversation?
Well, I don't do end around lawyers, but I certainly try to talk directly to the client. And, you know, my job always is to make sure that there is an element of reality in all the conversations. I don't think that's the reason that lawyers are not. I think lawyers are professionals. Most lawyers, like probably everybody in this room and perhaps most of your listeners, are committed to doing their job well. And lawyers are no exception. Lawyers are committed to doing their job well, and usually settling the case is the better alternative.
Brian Short is joining us. What makes mediation work? Tom Schroyer is our host. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. Brian, in your experience, when you meet with people involved in a particular case, if you will, do you get an idea if it's going to be easy or tough after that first meeting?
Yes, to give you the short answer. The process that I follow is I always ask the parties to their lawyers to send me a little letter or a little brief statement of what the case is about. People always will ask me, well, we need 2 days to mediate this. We need 3 days. Let's do 2 days this week and 4 days next week. And I have never scheduled a mediation for longer than 1 day. And so because cases always settle in the last hour, and the challenge is getting to the last hour as soon as you can. If you schedule something for 2 days, it will take 2 days.
Sure.
If you schedule it for 1 day, it will get settled in 1 day. And so often they are difficult at the beginning, but the process that I go through, and I believe most mediators go through, you learn what's important to the parties, and you try to make people admit what's important and disregard what's not important.
Do you think that that process of communication by the actual parties, by the clients, is important, at least outside of the context of perhaps a professional litigant like an insurance company? Do you think that's important for giving the party a chance to be heard and having a feeling of actually having a process?
It certainly is, Tom. I mean all of us that when we are involved in a dispute think that we're correct and that everyone would agree with us if we just simply had a chance to explain to them what our point of view was. And so I always, that's a very important process to go through. It's also very important for each party to listen to the other side. And that's probably one of the most important things that anybody can do, is to listen in these sessions.
Now, in all of your years of doing this and working on the bench as well, have you found that occasionally some little human touch, maybe bringing some donuts to the mediation, or maybe putting something human in the settlement agreement is a facilitating tool to get the deal done?
Well, it's amazing to me how important donuts are to the warp and woof of life. In fact, in an earlier conversation, we were talking about how important donuts are to every sale that's ever been made in the country. And mediation is the art of sale. Lawyers talk about negotiations, and when we as lawyers talk about negotiations, we generally talk about pummeling the other side into submission. When business people talk about negotiation, it's often, how can I sell the other guy into buying what I happen to have to sell? And that's what mediation really is. And that's perhaps the single most important message to get across to people is, remember, you are not here to beat the other side about the head and shoulders. You are here to try to convince the other guy to buy what you have to sell. And whether it's donuts actually or figuratively, that really does help.
Yeah, and on that note, I'm always amazed, or have been amazed in my career, with how little is said at a successful mediation about the law and positions in the law. Do you find that to be true?
Absolutely. You know, for any discussion, you need context. And for a negotiations, you need context. Whether it's pricing or terms or delivery, in any business transaction, we have to have a context. The context in any mediation in a court setting is the law. What is the law? How does it apply? How does it affect what's going to happen if I choose this other path of this winding road down towards trial? However, once we set the context at the beginning, whether your view of the law is correct or your opponent's view of the law on the margin is borderline irrelevant.
All right, and before our break here, we just have a short time before the break. Let me ask you the converse question. What is the most often encountered barrier to mediation being successful?
People engaging in self-delusion, people kidding themselves, or what I say, sending a boy to do a man's job, or a girl to do a woman's job, depending on, I guess, your point of view. But you need to have somebody with authority. If the person who is there as the client doesn't have authority, isn't responsible for the consequences of his or her decision, then you're doomed to failure.
I imagine it can be sometimes difficult to get people to actually send the right people to the mediation. That can be a real game that gets played in an effort to stall off the ultimate resolution.
You know, that's one of the things that I've noticed that really has dramatically changed over the years. 25 years ago, that really was a problem. That very, very seldom is a problem anymore. You occasionally see it, but it really is very, very seldom a problem today. Parties and counsel, at least the people that I deal with, understand what the rules are and want to comply.
We have much more coming up in a moment. Brian Short, what makes mediation work? Tom Schroyer is our host on the program. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, here on News Radio 830 WCCO.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
Did you know Moss and Barnett attorneys handled the first reported products liability case in the history of Minnesota for a defective tire back in 1967?
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss and Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO.
WCCO, now available crystal clear on 102.9 WLTE, HD2, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Welcome back one more time. Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, available online at moss-barnett.com. We come your way each and every Saturday between noon and 1 o'clock. Tom Schroyer is our host. Brian Short in studio. What makes mediation work? It's been a great program. We've learned a lot on the show.
Steve, we were talking offline here just in the last break about the harm that can be done by people insisting on having their way and how mediation can help to get over that. Yet, conversely, one of our lawyers, Kevin Bush, who a lawyer's lawyer, well known to Brian Short, pulled up the etymology of mediation. He found that it's from the Latin root mediate, which in Latin means to split the baby. So, Brian, let me put it to you. Do we have more lawsuits because people can come into court and have the baby split and get something and go home?
I think the answer is probably yes to that. You know, in a lot of contexts, you see people that don't comply with their contract because they can. It is not economically feasible for the other side to force performance. Or they do as you suggest, they can get in and get someone to split the baby. Does it happen? Yes. Does it happen a lot? Is that what the problem that the legal system faces is? I don't think so. You know, what mediation offers is an economically feasible way to solve a problem. It doesn't provide perfection. It doesn't let some – if someone is seeking justice or the truth or even beauty or wisdom, mediation or the court system really isn't the way you can achieve that. You need to talk to your minister. You need to talk to your doctor. You need to talk to whoever provides you guidance. What mediation, at least the way I am involved in our court system, is a way to resolve business disputes. If you want to prevent the higgling that your question suggests people think exists, then you need to talk to your congressman to change our laws.
All right. Now, in that same sense, if we are talking about 99.9% of all civil cases settling, are we going to end up with a group of lawyers who don't know how to try a lawsuit to a jury?
Well, one of the problems that I was noticing when I was a magistrate is because people weren't trying cases, the only way for young lawyers to get noticed was to create disputes that they could then win. So there would be all these little disputes within the context of the bigger lawsuit, a motion to compel this or a motion to impose sanctions or one silly motion, frankly, after another. And I think that kind of is a problem. How do you evaluate young talent? And that's frankly more of a question for you than it would be for me. But how do you evaluate young talent in a law firm if they never try cases? It's easy to judge the winner and the loser in a trial context. It is much more difficult to judge someone who has shepherded a dispute through to some kind of agreed upon resolution. How do we define winning? So that's a difficult thing for the system.
Right, and I'm not sure that there's much of a solution, as indeed clients are loath to pay for training of the young attorneys as well, and I don't blame them. We see now more and more pre-dispute, pre-lawsuit mediation clauses going into contracts. I put them into agreements I work on for my clients. I'm sure you see them, Brian. Do they work?
Probably not. I think it's a good thing. You probably should try to do it every once in a while. It works. And so even if it's one out of 1,000, well, that's at least one that doesn't get in the system. You know, you can lead a horse to water. You can't make him drink. You can't force somebody to mediation. Many of the judges in Hennepin County require parties to go to mediation as a condition to taking the next step. I don't do those. If somebody calls me up and says, will you mediate this dispute for us, the judge is making us do it, I will say no. People have to be prepared and disposed and ready to talk about settlement before they can ever settle.
Well, it's been a great program. Brian Short, thank you. What makes mediation work? Tom Schroyer, host of our program. Big thanks to Dennis Matuzak, our studio coordinator, as always. And, of course, Jim Engblom, the czar of the green room, joining us again on this Saturday. Tom, what have we got coming up next week? This should be a great show and a timely show.
It really is breaking news. We're going to have Joe Matanowski on, an environmental law attorney with Moss & Burnett, talking about the Gulf oil spill and how can the law help. A very challenging and complex topic.
Next Saturday at noon here on News Radio 830 WCCO.